and our friends on TalkSport and Talk Radio. Let's start with a newsflash. You ready? Right, here we go. Roughly half the people on planet Earth, 50% of us, are women. Okay, so that's hardly a staggering fact, but here's something that gave me pause. Around half of the athletes competing at the Tokyo Olympics were women. But as recently as 1984 in Los Angeles, only one in four competitors were women. I learned that from a great new book called Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport by Sue Anstis. And it's a remarkable read because you realise that females still don't get the funding, the prize money, even the opportunities of their male counterparts in many, many sports. Okay, so we're not where we were, but we're certainly not where we ought to be. And the current state of play with women's sport is at the heart of this brilliant new book. And I'm delighted to say the author of Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport, Sue Anstis, MBE, joins us now. Good morning, Sue. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very well indeed. Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Now, quite early on in the book, you've talked about various kind of turning points for women's sport. And number one is the Olympics, the London Olympics in 2012. What was so important about that, would you say?
I think people talk about it a lot as the women's games. I think just as you mentioned, that increasing equalities, the first time that women competed in every sport at the games. And I think we just saw women front and centre and celebrated the greatness of their performance at London.
It's interesting to me in the book when you talk as well about the media coverage and the fact that, you know, still the vast majority, it seems to me anyway, of sporting journalists, broadcasters are male. I mean, we've got several high profile, very good female broadcasting journalists here, but even then they're still in the minority. And also, I mean, I've got four daughters, two of them are absolutely sports obsessed, two couldn't give a monkey's. So it's quite difficult to know how to kind of spread the word about female sport amongst women.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's been a little bit unbalanced. You mentioned the kind of media coverage there. I think it's not just about the presenters, it's about people behind the scenes and producers and editors and all those who have perhaps just taken what's been normal in the past. They're very much men writing and talking about men's sport for men and not necessarily making it as appealing for women. So that is definitely, as you say, beginning to change with some of your amazing presenters, the Laura Woods and others of this world. But yeah, it's changing, perhaps not quite fast enough, but we're moving in the right direction.
And yet you call the book, the subtitle is The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. Is that your instinct? Was that your thought before you started researching the book? Because you've been directly involved in this, for, without making you sound old as the hills, for decades now, so haven't you? 30 years almost or something. You must have started when you were seven.
How kind. It has been for a long time, but it definitely feels there is I don't like to say tipping point because we've heard about that a lot in the past too, but it does feel in the last even 3-4 years after the FIFA Women's World Cup in 2019, and it just feels like we're at that point in terms of coverage and the events, as well as you talk about the sponsorship and profile and broadcast rights. You know, there's so much happening with the WSL in this country in September time, with more, you know, more broadcast, etc. We are beginning to see that shift like we haven't before, but lots of things coming together at the same time. So
again, you point this out in the book, there's a big increase in women actually participating in sport, which again can only be a good thing for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, definitely. And young, good women and girls. I mean, my thing about sport is I want equality and parity across sport, but it's as much about what it inspires, you know, your four daughters to think they can do in life generally. So when they see fantastic, successful, fearless, strong women playing sport and they see that equality, what does it make them think about what else they can do, whatever they choose to do within their lives too? But as you say, participation is becoming more balanced. We're beginning to see that at all ages across women.
I mentioned in my little intro, very broad brushstrokes, things like funding and opportunity. Are there some crucial things that could be done, do you think, kind of relatively quickly to improve things?
I think it's interesting that you, as a man and a father of daughters,
last time I checked, I was, yeah.
But I think the importance of male allies is something we sometimes underestimate. It's fantastic we've got so many women within sport and female athletes championing the cause, but actually it's the men, it's with many causes for equality, it's the men that we need on board to understand the benefits and to kind of change behaviours and call it out when they see that inequality. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things. And everyone can be an influencer, whether you're someone like you who's on the media, or somebody that is a father or someone working within a business, just calling it out when they see it and watching more women's sport and recognising. I've had a couple of people already have said, actually, once they read the book, they see sport through a slightly different lens. You kind of notice the inequality in terms of broadcast and print when we're not seeing women's sport, although it is being played.
And also we have got that sense of it being, you know, being given more access to mainstream media, being given more kind of general broad coverage, rather than being treated as something which I've always felt was slightly patronising, something kind of special, something unique, something occasionally almost even odd. We're getting over that, I think. Is that your instinct?
Yeah, definitely. And we do, you know, there's always been that piece of it is the World Cup and then it's the Women's World Cup, or it's, you know, it's championships and it's the women's version of. And I think when this summer with 100, we've certainly seen much more of that equal male and female portrayed together, you know, same billing, same, it's not
on
like
the same day, which is a fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
That felt quite revolutionary. And then within, you know, within three or four games, you accept it, don't you?
Absolutely. And as it's positioned as a double header rather than the women being a curtain raiser to the men's game or an add-on too. And a lot of it's just around language, about how we talk about it, as you say. But it's always been the women's version, you know. It's Chelsea and Chelsea women, Chelsea ladies. So changing some of that language, I think, will make a big impact in the future too.
Talking to Sue Ann, this is also a great new book published by Unbound. It's out next week called Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. Now, you're also an award-winning podcaster. Tell us about the Game Changers, if you would please, Sue.
Yeah, we're in series 8 now, I think, of the Game Changers. So I really wanted just to celebrate the stories of women who have really been the trailblazers for women's sport. So those athletes, but also those within broadcasting and administration, coaches and so on. So the amazing women sharing their stories and inspiring others through seeing what they've done.
And you've also been involved, I think, again, for a while now, for the Women's Sports Trust. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, it was a charity that was founded on the back of 2012, really. So you talk about the impact of 2012, and it was very much, it came out as a result of seeing all that fantastic coverage and then it dying away, really, after 2012. So a small charity, but really influential, bringing together lots of those working behind the scenes in sports, so media and funders and so on, just to begin to change that landscape and make women's sport more viable and visible as well.
Now, you're very busy. I mean, I could give you a long list of the stuff you're involved in, the stuff you do, from your PR agency to things like the Women's Sports Trust. But also, you've taken on a new role. I think it was only yesterday I got the announcement that Lewis FC have appointed you to its board of directors. Congratulations.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, and actually, it's interesting. It was Maggie Murphy, who's the CEO at Lewis, that I interviewed for the Game Changers when I first kind of found out about Lewis and all that they're doing. And I think so much of what they're about in terms of, you know, using football to drive change in society really resonated with me. And it's a lot of what's driven me over the years. So, really, really proud to be involved with them. I mean, both, I guess, all that they're doing, but a lot around gender parity, you know, one of the only club really in the world to be equally funding their women's teams in the way that they do the men's team too. And just seeing football in a different light, trying to sort of change the impact of football.
Well, they're quite a campaigning side as well. I think they're involved maybe at the forefront of that campaign for greater parity, greater equality, in dishing out the prize money for the FA Cup, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been very vocal and quite provocative about that too. But I think that's the thing is you start to talk about it and when people actually look at the numbers and look at the stats, it does seem quite unbelievable. But I think, raising profile, making some noise. You know, I love that kind of the mouse that roared, but that analogy. They're a small club, you know, on the South Coast, but doing some amazing things and attracting. I think Judy Murray became one of the owners last week. So that whole fan owned and that's really their ambition to be the most owned club, well, ultimately in the world, but at the moment to be the most owned club in the country. So that is, you know, that's something else that drives them. So if we can get you on board as an owner, that'd be fantastic. I'll send you details.
Oh yeah, no, send us the details. I'll have to sit and borrow some money off my kids to get involved in it. Let me ask you something. You know, I've got sent the book. I say it's out next week. Great read, published by Unbound, called Game On by Sue Anstis, MBE. And I was expecting an angrier book than it is. Have you kind of got over it? I mean, I mentioned, you know, you have been involved at the forefront of this campaigning now for quite a few years. Was there a time when you were really angry about things, or has that not ever been your way?
No, I think I probably am still still quite cross. But I think that's not the way to get people on board. So I think a bit of humility and showing people the way forward and what could be and why it's good for everybody. I guess that isn't particularly my way. And actually, if I look at the Women's Sport Trust, what we've done, it's not been a finger wagging, oh my God, it's all been, you've all done it all wrong. It's like, let's look at what we can do and why it makes sense to to change things for the future, for the good of everybody, really. So, yeah, I think that's always been my approach.
And we have seen increasingly sports being at the forefront of social change or directly involved in it, from Marcus Rashford's kind of school dinners campaign to things like taking the knee and that kind of way. Do you think maybe sport has finally, in any sense, kind of grown up a bit, kind of tried to become more part of the society that it entertains, enthralls and thrills?
I think so. And women's sport definitely is at the forefront of that. And that's one of the reasons why sponsors are becoming very attracted to women's sport now, because it is seen as being kind of more proactive with more of a sense of purpose. So if you look at all the stuff in the last year with the WNBA, you know, Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka, some of the most marketable athletes are females, because, you know, they've taken a stance, they've built a really big following themselves, and yeah, they seem willing to stand up and to make change, which is really exciting.
And the other fascinating thing for me about Lewis is, and I think, I can't remember where I heard a discussion about it, was in the way that a while ago tobacco sponsorship was kind of prized away from sport. Of course, there's increasing concern about gambling in this country, problem gambling and the promotion of gambling and gambling sponsorship in sport. And I think that's something else that Lewis is questioning as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I've been really, again, something else that really kind of sits with me, and I completely aligned to that really anti-gambling stance. I think when they were approached, they then teamed up with the Gambling for Life charity to have that on their shirts rather than gambling sponsorship. And I think you mentioned earlier, but it's almost like being on the right side of history. I feel like they're perhaps talking and calling out things that others may be thinking about, but perhaps aren't in a position to do so. And I think because of the fan ownership and the fact that it's a club that doesn't have owners it needs to answer to, almost, other than the 1,800 owners that they're there at the moment, they can do the right thing and make some noise for that too.
And obviously your number one team now is Lewis FC.
Are you a football fan? Going down on Sunday.
Oh, good. Who have you got on Sunday? Do you know?
Women are playing. It's the first time I've been down. It's ironic, really, but I've kind of known the club but not been able to see matches. So I'm down to the Dripping Pan on Sunday to see the ladies playing Charlton. 2 o'clock, and then the men are playing Horsham, I think, in a local derby at 3 o'clock on the Monday. So, yeah, two games this weekend. So, yeah, I will be going down. So it's my first experience of actually being there for a game on Sunday. Really looking forward to that.
Well, enjoy that, Lewis. A beautiful place as well. It's the home of the Boleyn family, initially, I think, as well. So, fascinating historical part of the world. Do you support another team? Please say West Ham.
I don't really. My dad was a big Chelsea fan, and I think...
Oh, that's all we've got time for. Goodbye. Get off. I'm joking, of course.
All that Emma Hayes has done, yes. I think... but just excited. I'm just excited across to see the start of this WSL season and the Championship too. I just think there's lots happening in women's football. Excited to follow that this season.
And the changing times of women's football and other sports and the future of women in sport is the subject of that brilliant book called Game On, out next week by Sue Anstis, published by Unbound. The subtitle is The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. And you heard that interview with me, Paul Ross, and Sue right here on Talk Sports and Talk Radio, where we're live till 5.
When you're ready to-